Xi'an, Shaanxi Province of the People's Republic of China, is the oldest of the four great ancient capitals of China. It's the most populous city in northwest China and claims close to 13 million souls in the greater metropolitan area. Xi'an has served as a regional capital for more than 2,000 years, and this is where the Silk Road commenced its circuitous route to the west. Xi'an is best known to the modern world as the home of the legendary 3rd century BC Terracotta Army. Today, Xi'an is experiencing an explosive growth and renaissance as an industrial, cultural, high-tech, and educational center of China's central and northwest regions. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for the first in a series of explorations of Xi'an and the province of Shaanxi. We'll meet and visit with David Lang, born and raised in Canton, China. David now resides in Southern California, where he is a contributing writer for the World Journal, Travel and Leisure China, The Graceful Traveler, and Holiday Media. Paul Su is a senior English tour guide based in Shaanxi Province. Simon Zhong is manager of the 2nd European Department of Shaanxi Overseas Tourist Company. Anna Matrovic from Belgrade, Serbia, is a PhD candidate in archaeology at Northwest University in Xi'an with a specialization in the production of the Terracotta Warriors. Dan Wang, majoring in English literature, graduates from Xi'an International Studies University in June and is serving as an intern with China Radio International Online. In addition to discovering the vibrancy of the ancient walled fortress city of Xi'an, we'll visit the Terracotta Warriors and Mao Zedong's cave headquarters in the mountains of Yan'an, a 4-hour drive from Xi'an.
I'm David Lang. I'm coming to Shaanxi for my second time and to come and visit this Asian city.
When was the last time you were here, David?
Oh, it must be 25 or 30 years ago. My memory is just like a very remote village. Mm-hmm. I remember the road that connect the airport then with downtown was very dusty. By the time our tour bus arrived in the city center, it's full of dust.
I was here 10 years ago.
Right. Uh-huh.
There's some pretty amazing transformations and especially growth and development, it's palpable.
Right, yeah, China development in the last decade, you cannot imagine. We are sitting in the old city wall, but, looking around, we're surrounded by high rises. You know, some of them are 20, even 30, stories high. So it's a good mixture of modernization and old historic buildings, and I think that's what makes China very attractive.
The town itself is very historic in the annals of China's history, going back 2,000 years, 3,000 years. The Silk Road, this was...
The beginning of the Silk Road, yeah. Huh? Yeah. Xi'an served as the capital of China for 13 dynasties. It went through a lot of history, kingdoms, changed hands. And I remember when I was little, I had to study this part of Chinese history, which was very complicated because there was a lot of emperors, a lot of names to remember, the changes of dynasty, but that's what made it very fascinating. And I think the local people went through a lot, but I'm grateful to see that the war, still being preserved, in its original form, and, we got to come and enjoy it. You have to come. The thickness of the wall is amazing. That's why people said that it's one of the most impenetrable walls, in the history of China. But eventually, the wall was not broken through, from the outside, but from internal conflict, between the different factions of the ruling class.
But back in the day, one of the reasons the walled fortress city was built was to protect the citizens from other provinces, from the Mongol hordes,
right,
from invasions from who knew where.
Right, yeah, because China went through different periods of warring kingdoms, different empire builders, wanted to attack one another, wanted to unify China. We also faced the challenges from the Mongolians, as you said, and other minority groups from outside. So China was constantly at war for several hundred years, even longer, and that's why they need a wall like this to protect themselves.
China being a very big country, we're, 3 hours from Beijing, 3 hours from Chengdu, which is over by Tibet.
Right.
So it's a great distance to anywhere. And yet, Xi'an today is a very bustling center of commerce. And what is driving the economy today?
Well, if you came here, as we alluded to 10, 20 years ago, right, you don't see what we see today. At that time, Xi'an and Chengdu were considered as a secondary, if not a tertiary, cities. The focus at that time was on coastal development, you know, Beijing and Shanghai and Guangzhou, right? So that stage of development is now behind us, and now they're focusing more in developing the interior so that they want to bring a better life, you know, to the local people, and also in terms of economic output, more focused on this area. That's why a lot of the changes happened in the last, you know, decade. And not just within China, but also Xi'an is making outreach to the outside world. You know, we have seen presentation, they are saying that they are now connecting with, you know, 57 cities in the world, you know, through air routes. They're bringing in investors from outside. A lot of the Fortune 500 companies have their presence here, you know. So I think very soon Xi'an would catch up with some of the bigger brothers, you know, along the coast.
If people around the world know nothing else, they know the terracotta warrior.
Yes, of course. Xi'an has been well known for the terracotta warriors. They're still digging it. They're still, you know, finding new terracottas. They have found about 6,000, but it's not done yet. You know, they still believe that a known number of more terracottas are being buried, you know, underground. And this job, right, would probably go on, you know, for another, I don't know, 50 years or maybe even longer.
10 years ago, somebody told me that there was a whole site over by the airport.
Yeah, the emperor, you know, Qin Shi Huang, we know that his tomb is there. It was buried there. Actually, they make it into a mountain. And they believe that inside the tomb, you know, they make a river which was filled with mercury, because mercury has the power to preserve dead body. And the whole, you know, underground tomb is full of, you know, jewelry and all that.
Today, why would you recommend a friend to come to Xi'an?
Well, if you have been to Beijing and you have been to Shanghai, I highly recommend that you to come here, because it's one of the more unique city within China's interior. I think the culture and the history has been strongly preserved and protected here in its original form. It's not like created, you know, after it was destroyed, you know. So you can see and come and see the real deal, and I think that's precious. But at the same time, you also, you know, can see a new face of China, you know, and the people, I think, managed dealing with the new and then preserving the old very well. If you like food, you know, this is a highly recommended foodie city. It's famous for its snacks, ranging from dumplings to noodles and all kinds. So you won't be disappointed, you know, if you come here and spend a few days just roaming the streets. But going back to, like, the Terracotta Museum, you know, that's a must-see. Talking about one of the treasures of the world, I think the Terracotta Warriors is up there.
Back to food and cuisine, even though this is not Sichuan province, I've noticed already that it's very zesty and flavorful.
Right.
And somebody was telling me a story of pepper and how important that is to...
Right.
Right.
Well, you mentioned about the Silk Road, right, before, right? You know, I think through the Silk Road, through the trade, you know, a lot of the ingredients were imported from outside, as well as China exported a lot of its goods and also, you know, food culture, you know, to other parts of the world, right? I think through that exchange, some of the local cooking, you know, acquired hot and peppery taste. I'm sure they imported a lot of the peppers and cooking ingredients, you know, spices, you know, from the Middle East, you know, and beyond, right? And they added that into the cooking, so that's why it makes Xi'an's cooking so flavorful nowadays, though. And also, you don't just find one type of cuisine in Xi'an, because we have a multicultural, you know, presence here. There's a strong Muslim population, you know, there's a strong international population. So you find restaurants of all types here.
Another dimension I find fascinating is culture and the museums. There are some very distinctive museums here.
Yeah, I think if you are interested into minority culture, okay, there are special museums that cater to different ethnic groups in China. There's the small ones, no, there's the bigger ones. And the Shanxi Historical Museum have exhibitions of all that type, you know, yeah. But they also have specialized, you know, smaller museums, though, which highlight and feature the culture and history of a particular group. So for minority culture exhibitions, I think Xi'an has a very good collection of museums.
But it's been a while since you've been here,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's been like, I don't recall, 25, 30 years, you know. I'm just amazed, you know, how many high-rises, you know, we see here, you know. I live in Los Angeles. Probably they have more high-rises, you know, here than Los Angeles.
Very fascinating. So this is a new experience for you too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah, and to come to see the interior of China, I mean, Xi'an has been on my bucket list for a long time. Mm-hmm. And when I come, you know, I don't just want to, you know, come and see the terracotta. I want to, you know, roam some of the neighborhoods, you know, to see how local people live. You know, I want to go out of the city and then see other parts, especially the rural part of the Shaanxi province. And so we have opportunity to do that, you know, and I really look forward to that.
What are some of the other draws in Shaanxi province? I know that Mao Zedong's base camp, when he was driven out,
right,
when the Japanese came, that's nearby here.
Right. The small town of Yan'an was known as the Beijing of Chinese, the communist movement, and, you know, we call it the cradle of Chinese communism. Chairman Mao, you know, spent some time there to organize his armies, you know, put his thoughts together, did some writing. And from there, you know, he took off, you know, get on the Long March and got into war, you know, with the KMT, you know, the Kuomintang. You know, through long periods of, you know, struggle and warfare, you know, and finally united China in 1949. So Yan'an is regarded as, you know, the equivalent of us, like, in the United States, it would be, I don't know,
Mount Vernon.
Yeah, maybe Mount Vernon, right? Yeah. We are in the cradle of Chinese communism. We are in the northern part of the Shaanxi province, where the revolutionary leader, Chairman Mao, and his closest advisors had their major important meeting to determine the future of China and the Communist Party back in 1946.
So he was fighting the Kuomintang for years, right?
Right. Yeah, he was on the run, you know, he was being chased by the Kuomintang army, you know, and he chose to use this remote part of China as his base, you know, because it's a natural defensive, you know, area, and even for a big army, you know, it was very difficult to maneuver and to catch them, yeah.
And it really was a complex time, late 30s, through World War II, in post-World War II, in that, take World War II, for example, Mao Zedong was fighting the Japanese,
right,
but he also had fights with the Kuomintang.
Right. I mean, China at the time, you know, was facing the Japanese invaders, right? So the government was fighting two fronts, you know, against the Japanese.
In an internal
right,
fight.
And also the internal, you know, flight, you know, so their military power will really stretch, you know, to the limit. And that's why some people argue that if it's not because of the internal conflict, right, the defense against you know, Japan might have taken sooner than what, you know, it took.
Right where we are in the mountains, in Mao's cave, this center, this was bombed by the Japanese during World War II.
Right.
And then after World War II, the nationalists bombed.
Right,
right,
because it was a difficult place for the army to maneuver, and at the time the Kuomintang, and before the Japanese, they had the air superiority, so they tried to bomb them and kill them, you know, but there were many caves, you know, and I don't think, you know, they know exactly where, you know, Chairman Mao and his top commanders were hiding, you know, so they might, you know, bomb the wrong caves, you know, that's why, you know, Mao survived. He stayed here only for a little bit, you know, and then he moved on, you know, and he moved on to Yan'an.
And when was that, like 47?
After 47, exactly the day, I don't know, you know. But then
after the war.
Right. Uh-huh. Well, after the war, too. But that became the major bastion, you know, of the Communist Party. And then from there, he gave out directions, you know, and directed his military force to fight against the Kuomintang.
We traveled all day by bus to get here, and not even from Beijing or Shanghai,
right,
but from
Hangzhou. From
Hangzhou. Uh-huh. And so this is quite a journey for anybody to come here.
I think the infrastructure, the road, you know, all the facilities are still being built. You know, I think it will probably be another maybe 2 to 3 years,
right,
before foreign tourists, you know, we find it
easier to come.
You know, yeah. So I think we just need to be a little bit more patient.
Right.
Yeah.
But somebody said right now they're building a high-speed train where you will be able to go direct from Xi'an to here in maybe 2 or 3 years.
Once that is completed, right, yeah, it would make the the journey, much easier.
Right now, there really isn't much infrastructure for a Western tourist to even overnight in a
hotel.
Right,
yeah, we can see, right? We look around, right? Yeah, there's not even a hotel nearby. Yeah, so it has to be a day journey.
But definitely a worthwhile journey.
People who are interested in Chinese history and the whole history of Chinese communism, right? Yeah,
this is especially something you read about all your life to actually come here. Yeah, really incredible. Yeah.
And, you know, for people who come here, right, must pick the season correctly, you know. I mean, we are here in late March, right? Oh, yeah. It's freezing today, you know. It's very cold, you know. Yeah.
But then in the middle of the summer, it could be extraordinarily hot.
Hot, right, exactly, yeah. So I think the younger generation of Chinese, you know, who didn't have a lot of knowledge about that, you know, are being also encouraged to visit there now. So what they call now is called the Revolutionary Tour or the Red Tour, you know, is getting more popular in China.
And how long a day trip would that be? It's like, what, a three-hour drive?
You know, I think it's 3-4 hours drive, yeah.
So you would want to overnight then?
If possible, yeah, maybe do overnight. If you're really crazy about, you know, that kind of period. You know, some of them may recall, you know, Edgar Snow, who was a very famous, you know, journalist, you know, who spent that time actually, you know, following Chairman Mao, you know. He wrote, you know, one of the book which became a classic, you know, called Red Star Over China. And he was one of the very first journalists to call our attention to this Chinese communist movement, which a lot of those so-called experts at the time just dismissed them as a bunch of bandits, right? But after he spent some time in, you know, in Yan'an, you know, with Chairman Mao, he said, hey, don't underestimate this movement. No, one day they would rule China.
Interesting. So the whole province, it's a great place to trace the roots of Chinese history on a million different levels.
Yeah, a million, yeah. Ancient history, you know, through the kingdoms, you know, to modern history, you know. Yeah, yeah, you will find a little piece of each of that period of time, you know, being represented here.
David Lang, thank you so much for sharing.
Well, thank you, Tom. You know, it's always a pleasure.
My name is Dan Wang. That's my Chinese name.
Uh-huh. And where are we right now?
We are in Defa Chang Dumplings Restaurant.
Uh-huh. And this is quite a famous restaurant in Xi'an, isn't it?
Not only in Xi'an, in Shanxi Province, and even whole China.
Wow. And they're most famous for dumplings?
Of course, dumplings and other spicy food and delicious food in Shanxi Province. Mm-hmm. But most the famous one is dumplings.
Interesting. And within the world of dumplings, there's a universe. Mm-hmm. There are so many different types. Tell us about some of the dumplings that we ate today.
Today we eat the dumplings with different kind of colors, the pork, the squid, and the Chinese chefs, and let me see, what else? Cabbages, eggplant, tomatoes, and the prawns.
What's your favorite? If you could order just one dumpling, what would you order?
My favorite is cabbages.
Uh-huh.
I don't like pork so much.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. And so do you bring family here? Is this a place where you would come with your mother and father or a boyfriend? You know, what sort of occasion would you come here?
Actually, it's my first time come here.
Uh-huh.
In Shanxi Province, this place is really famous. And we always bring the guests of honor come here to eat. And we will invite them come here to eat dumplings, but not with my families. In my family, and I will take them to the local restaurant to eat dumplings or make dumplings by ourselves, especially in some special conditions, and we will bring our friends, foreigner friends, come here.
Oh, very good. And so are you from Xi'an? Is that
yes,
your
I'm
home?
A local.
Yeah. And so you told me you work in radio.
Yes, I'm an intern in China Radio International, but actually I'm a grade 4 student from the Xi'an International Studies University, and my major is English Literature.
Very cool. Are you enjoying your radio internship?
Of course. Yeah. My major is English, but, you know, if I want to be a journalist, I have to study the major of news, but the major is not the same. So my mother asked me, if you want to do something, you just go to try it. Never be afraid of to be fail. Mm-hmm. So I just come here and start my internship.
When you graduate, what would you like to do? What's your ideal?
My dream is to be a good journalist.
Uh-huh. And would you like to do that locally, or would you like to work overseas in another country?
Now I have to work locally, but one day my dream is to go abroad and to let many people, let more foreigners to know China, to know Shaanxi province, my hometown.
Okay, so now's your opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about Shaanxi province. And Xi'an, what are you most proud of? What would you share? What would you tell people why to come here?
China is most famous for different kind of interests. Mm-hmm. And has many historical and cultural events, and is in the very center of China. In many years ago, before many years ago, and Xi'an should be the capital of China, but later they think Beijing is nearer to the seas, so they think Beijing is better, so they regard Beijing as the capital. So which Xi'an is really... It's really poor at that time. But now with the development of Chinese economy, and Xi'an has become stronger and better. And we have Bell Tower, Drum Tower, and the Qin Shi Huang's terracotta warriors and horses, and Big Goose Pagoda, Small Goose Pagoda. They are really famous. We don't have some special natural right. sceneries, but we have historical interests.
And you have the walled fortress town.
Yeah, city walls.
Yeah.
It's really famous. And maybe as a local, and I think I'm so guilty because I don't know too much about my cultures. I'm more interested in your cultures, in the Western cultures. Right. But for most of foreigners, they think Chinese is famous for its deep cultures. Mm-hmm. And they think, wow, Chinese culture is so charming. Mm-hmm. I like to go to China one day. I want to know more about China. So President Xi Jinping, our president, and they say, if you want to know China, just come to Shaanxi, come to Chang'an.
Wow.
Chang'an, in the old days, we called Xi'an as Chang'an. It's the start of the Silk Road.
Mm-hmm.
So just from Chang'an, from Xi'an, you will know the whole China.
So this really is the heart of China in many respects.
Mm-hmm.
Literally in the center of China, right?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. So you're obviously very proud.
I'm proud of my hometown. I'm proud of my country.
Yeah, very, very good. Okay, so then let's go in the future. You're going to now go overseas and go to another country for a while. What country would you choose? Would it be France? Or, you know, what, do you have any visions in your mind?
In many years ago, my dream is to go to America one day. Mm-hmm. Last year, I went to America for an exchange, and I participated in a program called Work and Travel in USA. Mm-hmm. I have to stay in a stable place to work and to earn money. And after 3 months, I have to go to start my journey. I stayed in South Carolina for 3 months, and my job is... It's a sales assistant in Eagle Speechwear. Actually, it's a very boring job, but I enjoy it because I can earn money and I can make more friends. After that, I went to Washington, D.C., New York, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Florida. After that, I'm back to China, I said, oh, when I want to go to America, I like the freedom and I like the sceneries over there. And my foreigner teachers are all in Los Angeles and Seattle. I love them so much, and I love the beautiful sceneries in America. But that's not what I mean. I don't like China. China more.
Sure, understood. Yeah. But very impressed with America's natural scene and scenery and beauty.
And America don't have so many people, but China has a large population. You can see people everywhere.
Very interesting. Anything else that you want to add? Now's your time.
I want to ask, what's your first impression in Xi'an?
Oh, gosh. Well, I first came here 10 years ago for the Terracotta Warriors. So that was my first kind of association.
We will go there this afternoon.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, go back. See what more digging has been taking place.
Mm-hmm.
That's what first comes to my mind.
My name is Deng Wang. That's my Chinese name. And my English name is Renesmee. But every time when I tell other people my name is Renesmee, they will say, pardon, what's your name again? So I said, oh, maybe it's a little bit difficult for you guys to remember. So just call me Deng. D-A-N.
I love
yes.
it. Thank you so much, Deng.
Thank you.
What a pleasure.
Thank you.
Are, Paul,
all right.
The legendary terracotta warriors mm-hmm. in Xi'an, China.
Tell you something about that?
Yes. Tell us about what is most special, what is most mind-blowing for you, what do you love the most?
I engaged myself in the tourist industry back in 1986. When I came here for the first time, I was shocked by the scene, the scale. There are so many of them. Were put on show at that time. And not only that, after my first visit to this museum, I read a lot of articles, a lot of books about the Qin Dynasty, about the first emperor, about the stories behind the discovery of the Terracotta Army.
When you were a little boy, did you know about?
I knew nothing about the existence of the Terracotta Warriors.
So it was it was a surprise to you then?
Of course it is a big surprise to me. Back in the 1970s, at that time I was just a primary school student. I knew nothing about the Terracotta Army. Secondly, most Chinese people at that time were quite poor. Very few of them could afford for a tour, even to see a place very close to the home. Mm-hmm. So a trip to the to a place like this, it's far away from my residence. Most people could not make it. But nowadays, as you can see, most of the visitors to this museum, they are domestic tourists from other provinces of China. That tells you that more Chinese can afford for the trip like this. Yeah.
Today, their school groups come from all over the province too, correct?
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. And now I want to tell you what impressed me most. When I came to this museum, that's the spirit of the warriors. You maybe want to ask me what the spirit is, what it's about. That is, never give up doing the right thing.
And you see that in their faces, in how they look and appear?
Yeah, that I get that. I was inspired. I got that hint by looking at their faces. Their faces will tell you what they think. Sometimes I have the illusion, you know, that they may come back to life at any moment. They start, all of a sudden they start to move. Yeah, like maybe they want to talk to me.
It must be very spooky at nighttime, huh?
Yeah, very much so. If you come here in the evening, they must look very spooky. Yeah.
Well, very special. Paul, thanks for sharing so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for inviting me to be your interviewee.
You got it. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Nana, you're a grad student from Serbia.
Yes, I am studying archaeology here. Mm-hmm. In Northwest University in Xi'an.
Simon, you were curious about Anna's perspective of coming to China as a foreign student.
So, actually, Anna come here as a student here. I just want to want you to see from her view or perspective what is a Xi'a looks like, what is a Huangsha looks like, because she's a foreign student here, and I just want to Anna to tell you she studied here for many years. What is she saying about my city and this mountain? Okay.
So, and she brings a European perspective rather than American because she's from Serbia.
There are more and more foreign students generally in China. In Xi'an, there are only a few of us foreign.
A few meaning a few hundred? Or?
Well, in China or in Xi'an?
In Xi'an.
In Xi'an, few, like maybe four of us.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, Serbian. Serbian. Yes, Serbian.
From Serbia.
From Serbia.
And other international students, at least on my university, they're mostly either from South Korea or from Kazakhstan, Pakistan. So we Western students are kind of statistical error here, like really only few of us. Maybe I'm okay. Students come here for a different reason. They come here only for one semester or a year, just some language exchange program. Some of them come here to study business or management or history. But for me, it's a little bit different because I have to stay here 4 years for my PhD, and I came maybe with a bit different goal because I always wanted to come to China here to study about Chinese history and archaeology and culture. So I'm very, very happy to be here and honored to study in this university.
So if you're involved in archaeology, it follows that you're going to spend a lot of time getting your hands dirty.
Well, I hope so.
Have you been on any digs in China, in Xi'an? Yes.
On excavations or?
Yeah, yes.
No, because my work is mostly in lab. Okay. So, of course, I have to visit Terracotta Warriors. That's my research paper based on. So, of course, I have to visit it. But I don't get to mess too much with them. Mm-hmm. Only do some tests mainly in lab.
What are you analyzing?
We are trying to discover the process of production of terracotta soldiers.
How they physically made them from a production standpoint?
Well, the whole process of making it. Was it only one factory or was it many? How was it organized and what materials they used from which part and so on?
Does it follow, looking back in time, then maybe they had people that just made legs and people made torsos and then somebody specializing in faces?
Well, right now we think that was not the case. It looks like one small factory or unit was doing the production from the very beginning to the end, including production of figure, then painting, and yeah. So
the whole thing from start to finish. Yeah. Is there any deductive way that gives you clues to that, the way it was?
Because archaeologists earlier analyzed the way of making them. Mm-hmm. So, based on some small clues, they assumed that it was done in one workshop. And also there were analyses of some weapons. And there they discovered that it was the case, that one unit was responsible for one amount of weapon. And that's how they could also do a control check and so on. So that's what we're trying to develop here for warriors as well.
So since you've studied very closely the people indirectly who, with their hands, made these objects, do you ever kind of feel like you know them, like you can understand them as people?
It's very challenging because China is very different from Europe, from where I grew up. So it takes a lot of time and patience to get to know the people, but I believe that it's anywhere you go, it's more or less the same.
Well, but I'm talking about the ancient people, the artisans, the craftsmen who actually made the terracotta warriors. Because you study and look closely at what these people did. Does that help you kind of get a visual feeling of them as spirit people?
Well, I try to do so all the time just to be able to understand, to be able to do my research much better. But I believe that in order to know them, I also have to know nowadays people.
Yes.
Because their spirit is still kind of
intact.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it's important to know. Yeah, in order to get to know the ancient people, I think that I have first to understand the now present day people and their spirits, their mentality, way of thinking, and everything, and then try to transfer it to the ancient times.
I love it. That's great.
So it takes a lot of time, but fortunately, I have a lot of time here left. So I hope that I will be able to
to do it.
In your time here so far and looking forward, what are the most fascinating things that you want to go and explore and see and do?
Honestly, it's so difficult to say because China is so huge and there are so many amazing things. And I travel as much as I can. Sometimes I take, when we have holidays, sometimes I take 1 month for traveling. And I've seen some amazing places. But no matter how much I've already seen, there are still so many places to be explored and visited. China is simply huge and wonderful.
Give me your hit list. Maybe your top three or four things that you have not done yet that you would like to do.
It's a long list, to be honest.
Well, high on your list. Have you been to the Great Wall?
Of course.
Yeah, all the main attractions.
Yes, I'd like to visit. I've been actually to several points of the Great Wall, not only the one in Beijing, but also in some other provinces in this Shaanxi as well.
The wall is, you can go pretty close to here, right?
Yes, well, relatively close. Yeah. It's the north of the province, so I've been there.
What, maybe 3 hour, 4 hour drive?
It was a night ride by train, so.
So the Great Wall, most people think of Badaling Pass or Beijing, and yet it goes on for, 2,000 miles? And so you went and visited the Great Wall here in this province.
Yes, there are some remains of the wall in north of Shaanxi. I believe that you will visit it in a few days. Mm-hmm. The thing is that a lot of it has already been destroyed, the older part. Now the one we see, it's mostly from Qing Dynasty, so it's very well preserved, like the one in Beijing.
It is. So yes, you can get a really good sense of what it looks like.
Yes.
And you can walk on it and climb it.
Yes. There's actually a fortress, which used to be the biggest fortress in that part. Mm-hmm. It's still preserved, and it's really interesting when you go on top of it and when you look on the other side, mm-hmm. and you know that, well, in their minds, behind your back is China and mm-hmm. their empire, and in front of you have just steps and some unfamiliar people.
The frontier, yeah.
Yes, so it's really, mm-hmm. that was really a nice moment.
The Mongol hordes are waiting.
Yes, yes.
Okay, give me one more fun adventure that you have done or you'd like to do.
One of the most interesting things I've seen here is also a giant Buddha near Leshan.
Oh, I went there, yeah. That's the largest Buddha in the world,
yes.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, it's... I didn't expect it to be so great. Honestly, many photos you can see on the internet or in the books, and they really look fascinating, but still when you go to those places, it looks even better.
Yeah. And I think that definitely is one, yeah. Because no matter how somebody tries to describe it until you look at the whole mountainside of a Buddha.
Exactly.
Did you get off the boat and walk on the pathways around the Buddha?
We actually entered from the other side, and we were just walking around the Buddha, and then visited also some other Buddha caves and places. I think it was the longest lying Buddha in the world, and also pharmacies Buddha, and many different caves and the carvings. It was really, really wonderful, especially because it was my first year in China, so I didn't also really not know what to expect on such a journey, and it was just beyond all my expectations.
Did you go into the town of Leshan and spend time there?
Only a little bit.
Like a half a day?
Yeah, just a little bit. Mm-hmm. We went mainly for a giant Buddha.
Right, me too. But I did go to the market and walk around, and that was very fascinating.
No, we were actually stationed in Chengdu, so we only had one day to come to visit Buddha and go a little bit around Leshan, and then went back for pandas, of course.
Very cool. Okay, one more Anna hit list of something you have done or want to do or would recommend.
Can you just think for a second? Because there are... Oh. Dalian is on my list, but I also want to visit, for example, Inner Mongolia. That's pretty challenging for me, or Qinghai province, Qinghai Lake. And also in Gansu, in far west, there is a Moon Lake temple. So that's in a desert, a small lake in the shape of a crescent moon. So that's also something that I would love to see. Also, how they grow tea. I love tea. I'm a big fan of tea culture. So that's something I would like to go to, those tea fields, tea terrace.
And when you travel or planning travel around China, would you go with university friends in a car, or would you take a bus?
Well,
maybe airplane.
Yeah, well, we combine transportation. It's usually either plane or train. We take buses only for some local or short distances. And unfortunately, I still don't have a driving license here in China because I have to transfer my international one. So hopefully I will do it soon, and then it will be even more convenient.
Anna, how old are you now?
31.
And your last name?
Mitrovic.
Spell that.
Mitrovic.
Anna, thank you so much for sharing. This
thank
has
you
been
so
great.
Much. Thank you, and I'm really happy to meet you and to have the opportunity to share this experience with you.
Wow, I'm honored and blessed. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Xi'an, Shaanxi Province in China. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Once again, svdpusa.org. And whether you're shopping for new or used items, donating them, or volunteering, you're helping the Society of St. Vincent de Paul help others.